Many horror hounds will have heard of B-movie film producer Charles Band, but if you haven't, here's some information on him. He founded Empire Pictures and Full Moon Productions, responsible for movies like Reanimator, Puppet Master, Ghoulies, and dozens upon dozens of other sleazy, low-budget horror flicks, often with a comedy bent and featuring small toys, puppets, or dolls. He was also, as a B-movie producer has to be, a shrewd copycat. So, when TriStar's American Godzilla reboot entered development in the mid-90s, Charles Band knew he had to act fast. So, in 1996, Monster Island Entertainment was created, a sub-label of Full Moon Entertainment for kaiju-type movies. This sub-label was short-lived and only stuck around for two movies to be produced before disappearing. But these two movies, as we all know, were two of the most popular movies of all time. 1996's Zarkor the Invader, directed by Michael Deak, and 1998's Kraw the Sea Monster, directed by Aaron Osborne. Kraw and Zarkor made a huge, pardon the pun, splash, pardon the pun, when they released. If you were around in the 90s, it was hard to avoid Zarkor and Kraw fever. Zarkor lunchboxes, Kraw cookware, Zarkor action figures, Kraw power tools, Zarkor video games, Kraw dress shoes, everybody owned at least one piece of Monster Island merchandise. Children across the country tuned into Kraw the animated series every Saturday morning, and every weeknight adults watched the political talk show The Zarkor Perspective for cutting-edge cultural insight. Kraw and Zarkor were as American as apple pie and twice as ubiquitous. It's actually crazy nobody remembers these movies because literally everybody saw them when they came out. You remember Zarkor and Kraw, though, right?
Monster Crazy!
Welcome back, dearly scare-loveds.
Mm-hmm.
To Monster Crazy, your one and only one-stop drop and roll fire monster for all things fire monster and other monster. I'm your fire host, Cameron.
And I'm your kaiju host, Kai.
Kaiju Kai, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Also, I'm Jewish, so...
Also, your name sounds like Kraw.
Yeah, well,
and
that's
mine sounds
actually,
like Zarkor.
I was named after the Kraw franchise.
That makes sense. It was hugely popular.
It was massively popular. My mom's a huge Kraw head.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask
you.
I also
got a Kraw dad.
I get it.
Mm.
I get it. I mean, I know that we usually like to keep our personal lives out of the recording of this and kind of, you know, put up a wall a little bit. But I do have a confession to make.
Let's hear it.
Right before this, I went to a sushi restaurant and I ordered the Godzilla roll.
Wow. Thank you for being so human and vulnerable with us.
I really needed to be honest and let everybody know that even though we're talking about Kraw, I did not order the Kraw roll or the Zarkor sashimi. I got the Godzilla roll.
You know, and if I'm going to be completely honest, today I basically just got full off of, like, Chicago mixed popcorn throughout the day because I have a 4-pound bag of it. That's not a joke.
Mine isn't either. I had a Godzilla roll.
Yeah, but...
it was imitation crab, spicy mayo.
Is there tempura in there? Tempura shrimps.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, let me eat it.
Some kind of cheese.
Let me get some.
I had it already. It's gone. But today we're doing a surprise creature double feature because, you know, we landed on Kraw on the Wheel of Monster last week, and I would like to imagine that we both maybe had a moment of watching Kraw and being like, you know what, fuck it. Yeah, we have to do Zarkor too.
That is what happened.
Because these are the two, whether or not they're the most popular movies of all time, you know,
that's
jury's
not
still
debated.
On that one.
It's not the jury's not out. They are.
They're in. You're right. I misspoke. I meant to say the jury's in. They are the only two movies made by Monster Island Entertainment, the sub label of Full Moon Entertainment. I think it makes sense to pair them together because they're both 70-minute long kaiju romps.
Yeah, they're very easy to consume in a single sitting, which is
very bite-sized.
Yeah.
Giant monster bite size, maybe. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. Which we both have giant monster mouths.
Yeah, and you know who else does? Zarkor, the invader.
Yeah, and Craw. I forgot his subtitle.
The sea monster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was from space.
I know. They're both from space. Well, yeah. Zarkor's from space. For show. Okay, do we want to just talk Zarkor first?
Zarkor
was 1996, Craw 1998. They both were literally decapitalized because Charles Band caught wind that TriStar was making a Godzilla movie and shopping it around. And he was like, ooh, don't mind if I do. And made two of the biggest bangers back to back to back. Zarkor the Invader.
I've never been. Zarkor the Invader was a really fun movie.
So fun. So genuinely a funny movie with lots of genuinely funny jokes. And maybe the first 30 minutes I loved. After that, I was like, okay, I get it. This is a movie that Zarkor, the titular monster, has about, I would say, maybe 2 to 3 minutes of screen time in this movie.
Yeah.
And for the first time, I mean, ever watching a movie like this, I was like, you know what? That's fine. I don't mind.
He was completely just a narrative device about to basically tell a joke.
Yeah.
A pretty good joke. It was very funny.
Yeah. I guess let's start off with the physical description before we get into the plot, because this is one where the plot is kind of what he is. So we'll talk a little bit about the plot of the movie.
He looks like the devil mixed with Godzilla.
Yeah, he's like a big dinosaur type guy, bipedal, big four finger claw hands, one of those like muscle lizard bodies that monsters have. When a guy is like, I'm going to draw a cool monster, and he draws a really buff lizard. I'm sure everybody knows exactly what I mean, but it's hard to describe in more granular terms. A lizard with abs. And he's got, the coolest part of him is he's got these big, like, devil horns, or like a stag beetle, kind of, too.
And kind of a beak, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got, like, a big pointy mouth with big teeth, and I also really like his eyes. He has big blue, like, pupil-less glowing eyes that are pretty cool, and he's got spines down his back like Godzilla, but they don't look like Godzilla's spines. They're just triangles, or like bendy triangles, you know. You know, and he's got a tail. But something important that I know, we described him as a dinosaur type guy. He is not a dinosaur, according to Dr. Stephanie Martin. He's not a dinosaur, and that's made very clear.
Yeah, she was saying that his arms are too buff, essentially.
His arms are too buff, his horns are too weird, he's too young, he's not old enough, and he's way too big.
The mountain he busted out of was younger than the period that he could have been from.
Yeah. Also, she said he's well over 180 feet tall, so we have a size on him.
Yeah, that's another reason he's not a dinosaur, is that he's fucking the size of multiple buildings.
Yeah. But he's a big, and he just stomps around. Also, fun fact, he roars. The roar may sound familiar, and that is because it is the T-Rex roar from Jurassic Park. It's directly
completely ripped.
It's that sound. I mean, I think it's, you know, the same. They just used the same sound effect. I don't think it's like they stole it from Jurassic Park, but it is the same sound from Jurassic Park. I think they both use the same like sound library or whatever. I don't know how that shit works. But yes, yeah, same sound. Exactly. yeah, and he stomps around and he destroys stuff and he has laser eyes. Which is sick. I really love the way his head looks.
I think he looks awesome. I think the horns do it for me.
The horns are so cool.
They're like devil-like, is my favorite thing about that.
Yeah, they're super devil-like. They're like really, I feel like the only other kaiju I can think of that has horns like that is Pulgasari, which is a North Korean kaiju. But even those horns, the horns that Pulgasari has are more like horizontal and like a little more bull-like. And these ones, the Zarkor ones, are like straight up. Like, I guess a Magic the Gathering fans, he has Nicol Bolas horns, kind of. and I like that they look a little bit insectoid. Well, I'm loving this art that you're sending over. We'll have to drop this. Some of this stuff.
This last one we need to put in there. I love the shits. His horns.
Yeah. His teeth are so big too. He's got big fucking teeth.
Another thing that his horns remind me of is like a samurai helmet a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that. They definitely look like a little artificial in a way. Either like robotic or yeah, I don't know. But he is kind of treated a little bit like he's artificial.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything going on. Like, he doesn't have a monster personality. He is really just a big thing that's stomping around with lasers.
Yeah. He's according to the description of the movie that on Tubi and also the back of the DVD case, he weighs 300 tons and he's 185 feet tall.
That's like my damn mother-in-law.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding. Melissa is wonderful and I'm not married. but no, yeah, you know, he's huge. I also think that with those horns, this is maybe an overread a little bit, mm-hmm. but when he emerged from the mountain, like Craw came from, I mean they both came from space, but Craw splashed out the ocean, and Zarkor erupted from a mountain, and there was just like glowing orange. I think he's very devilish. I think his it looks like he erupted from hell.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And should we talk about what his deal is?
Yeah, let's talk about his deal. His deal is awesome, to be honest.
Yeah,
I
totally.
Really, really like it. The movie starts with Zarkor exploding out of a mountain in California, specifically. And that's important. But then it cuts to this this guy, Tommy Ward, who is not a mailman. He's a postal office employee, I think he calls himself. And he's just eating toast, as a guy named Tommy is wont to do. And a tiny little woman appears.
By his
and
cereal.
She says, and just the first thing she says in a really high-pitched voice is, "Tommy, you've got to come!" And this is immediately what she says. And kaiju fans will recognize that this is probably kind of in classic Full Moon fashion. It's goofy and comedic, but it's a send-up, I believe, of the Shobijin from Mothra, which Mothra has these little like twin woman fairies that are very tiny that like are they're like fairy priestesses or some fucking bullshit. I don't even care about, but this is like kind of like the parody version where she is referred to, I think, like three or four times
as a tiny teen mall tramp.
Yeah, tiny teenage mall tramp is I think the exact phrase they say three or four times.
Also,
go
ahead first.
Well, this I was just gonna say, Kai, you were mentioning before we started recording that you felt like. This was maybe some kind of weird fetish thing of this like tiny woman who is referred to as a mall tramp and is, you know, maybe this is a fetish thing. And I can actually confirm for you with 100% certainty that Charles Band, this B-movie producer who's responsible for Monster Island Entertainment and Full Moon Entertainment, his main thing, very well documented, is he loves tiny stuff. And it's unclear if it's sexual or a fascination or what is going on.
I felt like this was Tarantino telling Uma Thurman to focus on her toes.
I think this shows it, but if you he makes movies about dolls, he's made dozens of movies about puppets, about gnomes, mannequins, he loves small stuff. He pays people millions, probably thousands of dollars to make movies about tiny things.
Isn't that
so funny that that's his thing?
that's the thing
he does.
It's
small stuff.
He likes the littlest things in the world. But I will say, like, she was not necessarily sexualized in the movie other than, like, she, you know, they chose like a cute actress, but like there was no reason. The reason I was like, I think this is a sex thing, is I was like, there's no reason that like they needed to choose like a tiny hot lady. Like it could have been anything, because it was aliens ways. It was aliens trying to communicate with the main character using a form that might not intimidate him. And I feel like tiny teenage mall tramp is like way too specific for it to not have been a sex thing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, also, I think that it's easy to assume that almost any choice that Charles Band makes is going to be some kind of sexual thing in some way. I mean, he makes movies that are like Sorority Babes in the Slimeball Bowlerama. That's one movie he's made. It's stuff like that. Like, it's, you know, it's sex sleaze. It's
sure.
That's the time. And this is his family friendly. This Monster Island Entertainment is like the family friendly imprint or whatever of Full Moon. So there's not so much T and A, but there is Titans and aggressors maybe, yes, in this one. But yeah, so this little woman appears to Tommy and tells him that he has been selected to fight an alien invader named Zarkor the Invader. And he's like, well, why'd you pick me? Isn't there somebody who could do it better than me? And she's like, yeah, half. And he's like, what? And she's like, exactly half on the half of the people on Earth could do a better job than you. And exactly half could do worse. You're perfectly average. You're right. You're the most average guy in the world. So that's exactly our test of the human race.
Yeah. And that's so funny. And he was talking about, like, he was like, aren't you like a superior form of life? Wouldn't you have superior morals? Like, this is immoral. And she was just like, well, as superior forms of life, we actually kind of get to, it's part of our moral code that we get to do whatever we want with less superior forms of life. So, sorry. Good luck.
Dude, this movie's genuinely very funny. There's also a part where she shows up when he's just asking her questions about, like, the meaning of life and stuff. And he says, is there life after death? And she says, nope. And then he says, I mean, does our spirit, our consciousness continue to exist even after the death of our physical bodies? And she just goes, nope.
Yeah, no, she like pauses and like things and goes like, mm-mm, like no. Yeah. And then he asks her if this girl at work has a crush on him. She says, no, she's using you to make someone else jealous. And then she disappears.
Yeah, and she also says, and she's having sex with this other guy, and then disappears.
Yeah.
But she gives him the rules of Zarkor, which I think are fucking sick. I wrote these down verbatim because I love these. She says three things to him. Three things and a hint. But he's just like, what? Like, he's like so bewildered of like, what am I supposed? I'm supposed to defeat Zarkor, this monster? Like, how the fuck am I supposed to do this? And she says, one, Zarkor cannot be defeated by any earthly weapon currently utilized or in development by any armed force on the Earth. Two, Zarkor has been designed to home in on you and is currently making his way to you by the shortest route possible. And three, your course of action is strictly up to you. You can use whatever resources you can find. But those first two rules are so killer. That is so scary for a monster to be like, this thing cannot be destroyed by anything your race has ever conceived of. And also, it's coming right for you and it will find you, and that's that.
Yeah. No, she basically said you can't like pretend you're like, you can't run away from this. It will get you.
Yeah. It has been programmed to just follow you until it gets you or you get it. And then the one hint, and then she disappears, and then she reappears and says, oh, one hint. Zarkor contains the key to his own destruction, and then disappears.
Yeah. Also, another thing that I thought was cool, I don't know, it was just like, well, first of all, I think that the rules were cool because they were laid out very clearly in like almost like D&D legalese, where it's just like,
yeah, it feels like a riddle.
It's like a riddle almost. And then another thing that I just thought this was cool flavor-wise about, like, you know, when she first appeared and he saw like a tiny person on his desk, he was like, am I tripping? What the fuck? And the explanation of like why only he can see her, and like he wanted to get a tape recorder to record her rules because she had him write them down. And it's that her like image and everything was being beamed directly into his like sensory centers, the sensory centers of his brain. So like from outer space, he was being like hyper-focused, you know, being communicated with like a hyper-focused hallucination, like, which is, that's really sick. So like she wasn't like really there, and she didn't exist to anyone else because they're beaming it into his head, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I honestly, I really, really, I think that all the setup, like the premise and stuff for this movie is genuinely pretty good. I really like the idea of picking the exact middle guy to test the human race. There's a really bad Free Guy style movie lurking in there somewhere. I feel like someone could steal that premise and make a really middling Deadpool knockoff out of that.
Totally.
But it's great in that. I mean, it's just such a fun concept. But this guy, Tommy, immediately decides that, oh, you know, I guess I have to kill Zarkor. Well, I guess the first thing to do, well, he turns on the TV and sees Zarkor. He sees Dr. What was her name?
I don't remember.
I wrote it down somewhere.
Well, Cameron's God. Looking. She
Dr. Stephanie Martin.
Yes. A cryptozoologist.
Mm-hmm. And she was talking on TV. So he decides to go to the TV station and, of course, kidnap her and hold her hostage with a cop's gun.
With two cops' guns.
Yeah, with two holding two guns. One pointed at a cop and one pointed at her. And the cops are like, we're just security guards. We can't take you to jail. And he's like, I'm not stupid. and then the security guard's like, okay, buddy, I believe you. You're not stupid. That means you know what this is. And he takes out a gun and says, this is a gun, and I will use it to shoot you, and then you will die.
Yeah. I think that's like literally verbatim what he says.
Yeah, I read. There's
awesome.
So many lines. The first 30 minutes of this are so fun. This guy just completely going crazy and just like, and then he's just cornering this woman with like, he's holding up like a stand, like this metal stand, and like
an easel
using it to
something.
Hold her in a corner and being like, no, listen to me. We need to kill Zarkor. And she's like, what's Zarkor? And he's like, that's the monster. Like, he's just like acting so insane.
He eventually corners her into he gets cops' guns, pulls her into a bathroom, and then like other cops surround him, and like he convinces one of the cops to turn on the chief of police because that cop just believes
his story. He doesn't
even
convince him. He's just talking, and then the other cop's like, "You know what? I actually believe him."
Yeah, he's like, "Haven't you been paying attention? It's the aliens.
It's the UFOs." Yeah, and they start playing like goofy music when he says that too. Dude,
it's awesome.
It's so sick. And then basically the rest of the movie from there is they just meet up with this hacker guy, and he tells them that the way to defeat Zarkor is they need to find the off switch.
Yeah.
Which is also so funny that, I mean, that doesn't end up actually being what the solution is. The solution actually ended up being what I predicted it would be when I heard the hint. So maybe I get some points for that.
Cameron, I'll give you 3 points.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. The hacker guy also, that guy needs to be fired. That guy had no business. He was trying to be a crazy, unhinged actor, but he was pathetic. But I guess this is an actor crazy. But he does tell them, you got to find the off switch.
Yeah.
And then he books them a flight to fly to the off switch. But there really is also maybe monster fans out there are hungering for more monster talk. There really is so little of Zarkor in this movie. I mean, most of this movie is these three. It's the cop, the cryptozoologist, and the mailman, and they're all just walking around and doing stuff and being funny. And there's a few scenes of Zarkor destroying a few different cities.
This is just a joke. This movie is just a joke of what if you set up the absolute middlest guy to try to save the world from Godzilla.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. Zarkor has these blue eye lasers that they refer to as lightning, shooting blue lightning. I think that's, eye lasers are cool, underused. I think eye lasers are something that has become seen as stupid or lame or, you know, too like old fashioned. But I think it can loop back around. I think eye lasers are cool. Maybe it already has started to, cause now they're doing all this evil Superman stuff, Brightburn and Homelander.
Yeah,
fucking
actually,
bullshit.
Since we don't
fucking
have a ton,
bullshit.
We don't have like an insane amount of the actual monsters to talk about. I feel free to do a tangent here. If you could shoot like a beam of energy, you know, a laser of some kind out of like any part of your body, like what would you think would be like the coolest or most practical? Like which one? What would you want? Would you want
the
eyes?
Coolest? I mean, if it's coolest, it's hands because you can. That's the only thing that looks cool.
I think eyes and mouth could look cool, too. I think mouth
No, because
cool.
mouth, you have to go like, bah.
Yeah, but if it's shooting out of
the second, no, because okay, I meant what's the important part of looking of the cool part of your energy beam is the moment right before you shoot it, because that's the only moment that someone's going to be alive, right? Or like if you're about to shoot your laser beam, it doesn't matter how cool it looks coming out of your mouth. If you just open your mouth at somebody, they will. That's not scary or cool.
I think there's a way to do it.
But like, imagine if I'm standing and I go like, I point my hand like this at you, and then it shoots a beam.
That's cool too. I disagree with you on mouth. I think that's cool. Like, imagine
you think it'd be cool to go like this.
No, you're doing it in the lame. Cameron's doing it in the lamest way. Everyone, he's just open.
Okay, no, actually, like this. Rawr, rawr.
No,
that would be
fuck
so
you,
cool,
fuck
right?
You, no,
okay, fine. It's, do it in a cool way. Open your mouth in a cool way.
No,
I dare you.
It's about the moments before you do that. You breathe in through your teeth, and electricity is crackling, and then you go. And it's just like a solid.
You still
like,
have to. You still are opening your mouth like.
I think it's
cartoon
sick.
Though. Okay, I think it's shooting. A mouth beam is so cool, but not from a human. I think a human can't make their face look cool.
Okay, I am not going to back down on this one. But
maybe if I shot one when I smiled.
Hello, 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 yeah. Hello.
It
makes like a twinkly noise.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And
maybe
it makes
my
people
ear.
It makes people really happy.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, what about the forehead?
That's that is some potential. That I think that could be cool.
What about my nose? The tip of my nose. That'd be really good.
That would be really good. Eyes are probably cooler than mouth, because then your eyes start glowing and start going up smoke. Yup.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, they eventually defeat Zarkor. The key, anybody who guessed out there, the same as me, that's right, you guessed right. They defeat Zarkor by finding some kind of window that's harder than diamond that was left there by aliens or crash landed, and Tommy uses it to reflect Zarkor's eye lasers, and it blows him up. Well,
he
no,
even
it turns him
up.
Into a ball, and he flies away.
Yeah, no, it was like in a video, like it felt like it was just like challenge defeated. Like
he
it
just
made
got,
it seem
he got
like,
pulled back into his Pokeballs.
Yeah, totally. It looked like that's exactly what it looked like. It looked like yeah. Zarkor got pulled back into the great ball that he was inside of.
Yeah. Good for Tommy. Also, funniest ending of all time.
Oh my god,
where
yeah.
Where Tommy wakes up in a hospital bed. And the reporter's there and is like, Tommy, are you aware there's a grassroots movement that's pushing for you to become president? And he's like, no, I've been unconscious since 1 minute ago. And then she goes, well, would you like to be president? And he's like, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
And then
they
it's
go
roll
like,
credits.
Yay! And then they just roll credits. Him becoming president.
I was telling Cameron that I feel like that is an underutilized way to run for president in the
yeah,
U.S.
Yeah, the Zarkor clause.
The Zarkor route.
Yeah, and also the credits. You'll hear it later. I'm going to throw it in here, but rock and roll song about Zarkor plays.
Yep, and that will
next
be...
Next level. Next fucking level.
It's
dude.
Incredible. Honestly, I had a really good time watching this movie. Zarkor
I really enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Zarkor, despite barely being in this, I think he's a really cool concept for like a test of a civilization. And I think it's a good kaiju design. I think the suit looks nice too for the budget, which is obviously very low. This is one of those chunky suits that looks like a fucked up muscle furry kind of. Like mm-hmm. It looks more like a fetish suit than
he crawled out of DeviantArt and onto the screen.
Definitely. But for those parameters, I think he looks pretty damn good. He's got some good scaly texture. The horns are great. And I just really like the shape of his head. I think it's a distinctive, especially when you look at how many Godzilla ripoffs, you know, they went through in the 70s or 60s or whatever. This one's distinctive. You know, this is a Mockbuster trying to scoop Godzilla 98, and they did it. They scooped him in an interesting way, I have to say.
Yeah,
it's not just Godzilla. So yeah, I mean, I'm a fan. You could count me as part of the Zarkor gang, mm-hmm. for certain. And also, I mean, truly, those two. I just want to read those two rules again, because those two sentences together are just the hardest shit ever, dude. Zarkor cannot be defeated by any earthly weapon currently utilized or in development by any armed force on the Earth. Zarkor has been designed to home in on you and is currently making his way to you by the shortest route possible.
That's sick. I mean, that's like It Follows.
Yeah, dude. It Follows, but with a kaiju.
Yeah. Actually, I occasionally have this is another aside, but I occasionally have nightmares that I'm being like specifically targeted by like a colossus of some kind, and I'm just like darting around, hiding in like houses and shit while it's actively looking for me. And
that is the scariest shit. Yeah, that's it's so scary. To imagine hiding under something or hiding in a house and seeing a big eye or something. I mean, we were talking about this too. It's very funny that, like, you know, like 13-year-old autistic Godzilla fans are so funny, where, like, obviously, like, if you Google Zarkor and Craw, besides the millions of results that pop up from them being the most popular and most watched movies of all time, pretty much all that you'll see is just like kids on like kaiju forums who are like, do you guys think it's possible that Zarkor and Craw could fight Godzilla in an upcoming movie? And it's like, no. I don't think it's possible at all. I think
there's literally a... funny someone did a drawing of that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's so funny that people are like, need to see this. Like, people are so laser focused, and hell, me too, but people are so laser focused on kaiju stuff that they'll watch a movie like Zarkor and be like, I need to see a modern retelling of Zarkor.
Yeah.
But honestly, the reason I said all that is because I think that there's potential for a really good Zarkor movie. I think the concept is strong. I think you could make a non-funny, cool Zarkor movie where Zarkor is, you know, the scene in Pacific Rim when the kaiju are looking for like Charlie Day, some shit like that, but like for a whole movie. Like a city's evacuated, but a guy's in like a skyscraper or something, and Zarkor is like looking in the window, and you see his big eye, and it's just like a cat and mouse thing. I think that'd be tight.
I think kaiju, this is back to what we were saying about a kaiju hunting you, is I feel like kaijus are scary, you know, they're leveling cities and shit, whatever, that's cool. But like, if you're just in a city that a kaiju's leveling, that's really scary, but that's like being in a city that a hurricane's happening in. Like, it's just a natural disaster happening. But the idea that a hurricane is looking for you is fucked.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else on Zarkor before we move on to Craw? And then I think we should rate them both at the end.
Sure, that sounds good to me. I have one fun fact.
Cool.
Zarkor is named after an alien from a Marvel comic, from an old Marvel comic.
Cool.
And the reason that that's interesting is because that's also true of Craw. Craw also was named after a character from an old Marvel comic. But that's nothing. Just wanted to throw that out there. But let's talk Craw. Craw the sea monster. Also, gotta say, love that, I think both of them do. But love that both of these movies have exclamation points in the name. Craw, the sea monster. Zarkor, the invader. Monster forward. Love to
monster
see
monster forward. Your monster foot forward.
Yeah. All right, Craw. So, unfortunately, at least film-wise, Craw, I think, is the weak link out of the two Monster Island offerings here. You know, I think comparatively to what you would expect for a movie like this, I think it's good. I think it's passable. I don't dislike it, but it's definitely, you know, it's not, I wouldn't seek it out. I wouldn't seek it out like millions of people did in the 90s.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Billions,
either.
I should say.
It was the first movie that 6.8 billion people individually watched.
Yeah. But so the general idea of Craw, do we want to start with physical description or general idea?
I think physical description, because that's what we did. Right. I think he looks like a gremlin from the movie Gremlins mixed with a fish man mixed with a kaiju.
Yeah. 200 feet tall, they said. And there's no closed captioning on this, so I have to imagine that I misheard this, but there is no way to confirm that I did. 87,000 metric tons.
Jesus. Maybe he's from a planet that's like... extra dense.
I think maybe they were talking about something else when they said that, because that's a lot. That's a lot of metric tons.
Maybe he was in a ship.
Yeah, that might be what it was. I feel like they were like, something's headed toward the planet. It just teleported onto Earth. 87,000 metric tons.
I think that must have been Craw's ship.
Something must have happened that I made a mistake in some way.
I think
there's no way.
I think it was implied that he was in a ship.
Because that is fucked, dude.
Craw's stupid, but he's like he's like an independent agent. Like he's a sentient guy, kind of.
Yeah, he seems to be intelligent in some way or another.
Uh-huh.
He receives instructions and he's hired.
That's how he makes a living.
He's a big fish monster, fish reptile thing. He's got fish head, big teeth, big fish lips, reptilian eyes, tail, fins. He's semi-aquatic. He's green. His fins are like red and whitish. He looks like a creature from the Black Lagoon, Power Rangers, gremlin, basically. What I do like about him is I really like his posture. He has this kind of, he's hunched, he stands hunched over with his head like completely forward. Like he's like,
yeah,
his head is on the same level as his shoulders, which I always like when something has that. I think that's cool. I'm a fan. I think it makes something look strong and weird.
He does look strong and weird, and he is.
It reminds me of Hitmonlee.
Oh, totally. The thing I like most about him, I don't think there's a lot for me to say about his physical description. I think it's sort of whatever, but I like the idea that Craw is just an alien. There's nothing special about Craw other than he is just an alien. And in this universe, sentient aliens are all roughly human sized, and Craw is just like huge. And so he is an intergalactic bounty hunter that instead of his targets being, specific targets, he's hired to like wipe civilizations as and I think that concept
is sick. Yeah,
is really
they refer
cool
to him as a planet wrecker for hire.
Mm-hmm.
That's sick.
That concept by itself was very novel to me, and also I thought really badass.
I really liked that as well. I think the idea of also just like a kaiju being kind of intelligent and like being hired to destroy a planet instead of like rising to punish the sins or like being awakened by a bomb or something, I think that is novel and fun.
I think it's cool that it's just business.
Yeah. I also like that even like beyond that, I mean, I feel like that, I think, which also this, where Zarkor was clearly a scoop mockbuster of Godzilla 98, Craw is pretty clearly like a XP of like Power Rangers stuff. They're definitely trying to do Power Rangers more than they're trying to do Godzilla here. And I'm not a Power Rangers expert. I've only seen a little bit of it. I think that type of monster that is more intelligent is more common in Power Rangers and Sentai and stuff like that. But I also think that usually they talk in some way. And I like that Craw is like an intelligent or semi-intelligent bounty hunter who's for hire. He just acts like a monster anyway. Like he doesn't ever talk or be paid enough for this or something. Like he's all business.
Yeah, no, he's not there to talk. The money's already spoken.
Yeah, pretty sick. I like that. He also, he's got creature from Black Lagoon abs. I wrote that down. I also wrote down he looks nice and wet.
Yeah, he does.
Number one thing to do with a monster that's a monster suit is spray it with water before every shot. Love it every time. You gotta love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the suit, despite it being kind of boring and not, I mean, you just look at Power Rangers monsters, and a lot of them are super creative and super interesting. And to do a Power Rangers knockoff and your monster is just fish guy, it's kind of uninspired.
Totally.
But I think the suit looks good.
I thought it was fine. The main design thing that I liked was narrative design, and that he's a bounty hunter for civilizations.
Yeah, I really like. I think the body of the suit leaves something to be desired. I do like the face. I think the face looks pretty real and creepy, and nice. I like when the head is peeking in between buildings. He has a scary, big teeth, toothy smile. That I like, but yeah, I'm not really gonna fight for his design here very much. He also has the ability, he has some kind of breath weapon that's like invisible, that I don't know what it's supposed to be, if it's like a shockwave or a sound wave, because it makes a high-pitched noise when he does it. But it's like a transparent beam that he shoots out of his mouth that blows stuff up.
I feel like shockwave or like high-pitched sound wave makes sense with him being like an aquatic guy.
Yeah. Do fishes use sounds?
No, but like whales and dolphins.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
For some reason, Soundwave and Fish Guy seem like they would work together.
Yeah, I didn't think about whales and dolphins. That does make sense to me. yeah, but basically, Craw, so his general deal, he's a bounty hunter. We didn't mention who he's hired by yet, and that's kind of a big deal, as any Craw heads know. You see, there's this guy by the name of Lord Doom, and he's motherfucking evil as shit. He's basically Skeletor. Lord Doom, he's got a red cloak, he's got a silver skeleton mask, and he has these like red electricity bolts that crackle in his eyes sometimes when he talks.
Yeah, when he's pissed off.
He's trapped on Proyas, the dark planet, which I have to imagine is named after Alex Proyas, the director of Dark City. Very good movie. And he is trapped there with the Chamberlain, which any movie fan knows. If there's a character named the Chamberlain, any Dark Crystal fan out there knows this character is going to be fire if his name is the Chamberlain. He's going to be a weird guy, and it's going to be great. The Chamberlain in this is a little person with goggles and a hood. It kind of looks like they just draped him in laundry.
He looked like someone from Mad Max Fury Road, like one of the guys from there, and then they just turned the hue to like a cool color.
Yeah. But so they're trapped on Proyas, the dark planet. And basically, Proyas, the planet, is losing its warmth, and Lord Doom sends Craw to conquer Earth because he's on a quest for warmth. He wants to take Earth's warmth. And I think the idea, like, not being like, I want to colonize the planet, or I want to terraform it, or like I want to take its natural resources, but specifically like I want its warmth because my planet is cold. I think that's so weird and impressionistic and great. Yeah. Like, I really like that. That feels like such a good old fantasy sci-fi like motivation.
It's also very like base. Like it's like, when I say base, I just mean like it's such a simple thing that something like,
it's the bottom level of the hierarchy of needs.
Yeah, like
warmth.
Yeah, need to get warm, and like a skull guy wanting to go get warm is cool.
Yeah, I really, really like the motivation of being like, I need to conquer this planet so because my planet is cold and also, planet is warm.
The time crunch was their planet. Their sun died, so they all migrated deep to the core to stay warm near the core of the planet, and that is starting to fade too, which is why they're on a time crunch to get warmth as a resource.
Yeah, man, I love warmth as a resource. Like,
yeah,
I honestly,
warmth as a resource is very cool.
I am filing that away because I think that's a really, really cool thing for an alien race to be like driven by.
Yeah, totally.
It really does feel so like, this is too heavy a word, but it feels very like mythic and like weird and like just, yeah, I don't know, psychedelic almost.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but luckily for Earth, there's a few people standing in the way of Craw, and that would
be,
of course,
the Planet Patrol.
The Planet Patrol, which is somewhere between the Power Rangers and the Starfleet.
From Star Trek, yeah.
From Star Trek, yeah. They dress exactly like the Starfleet, but they're also not Power Rangers because they don't do anything. They just stand in there. They are just this. They're the Starfleet. They're not Power Rangers at all.
Yeah.
But they go, we got to stop Craw. And then they're like, but how will we do that? Craw's on Earth, and we're so far away. They're like, oh, the only agent in range is Mogyar. And it's like, seriously, Mogyar is the only agent in range? That fucking sucks.
They were fine. They were fair to Mogyar. He was on a scouting mission, didn't have any of the necessary equipment he'd need to take out Craw.
Yeah, but I'm just like, damn, seriously, Mogyar is the only one? Like, really? Okay.
Are you going to give us Mogyar?
Okay, like, why don't you guys just go and help us? You're just really going to let Mogyar handle it? All right. And then a biker goes into a diner, and he says, are you guys open or closed? And then she says, get out of here. And he says, okay, I'll have a tea. And she says, are you one of those tea-drinking bikers or something? And then he has tea, and then a pyramid falls out of the sky and lands in the diner, and Mogyar is inside.
Yeah, and also the biker is like, I worked for NASA and also was a doctor.
Yeah, and he's like a genius biker. Yeah,
and she was like, are you like one of those big brain types or something? And he said, big hair, big brain, big gut, big everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn.
Yeah, that's full moon, baby. I love the stupid character stuff. It really is like, I will say, as boring and dumb as this movie is, it really, you can tell when somebody is doing the Mockbusters with some heart behind it, because, you know, a Mockbuster that comes out now that's probably by some, you know, faceless loser who's not genius, tiny woman fetishist Charles Band, you know, it's like, okay, who are our characters? Well, it's a soldier, it's a cop, it's maybe a mother and a child, but he's like big brain Charles Band over here, who I don't even know if he directly worked on this, but you know, these movies are like, okay, we're gonna have a really average mailman, a cryptozoologist, a biker who's a genius, and a lady who likes tea and Mogyar.
We should talk about Mogyar a little bit.
Yeah,
though,
I really want to. Mogyar is so much more interesting than Kra.
Yeah. So this thing crashes into this diner in the middle of the city. And I like that they brought up, he's like, oh, finally, like an alien crashed into something and it wasn't like the desert or something. Like it's in the city where the government's not going to get it this time. And the little ship, it's like a little pyramid, opens up and there's a little slimy guy inside that just starts rapidly speaking in Italian the second that it opens.
And this is Mogyar. He's a little fucked up crab thing. I wrote down, he looks like a crab covered in Airheads. He looks surprisingly really, really nasty. He's got little like pieces hanging off of him. He looks slimy. He just looks so gross. I think he looked kind of swag too. I mean, he's cool. I like him, but he just, like, for the type of character he is, he looks really disgusting.
Yeah, because
he's unpleasant to look at.
He's just nice and cool.
Yeah, he looks like the wall that they put gum on. Like, it's just like, yeah, looks totally. Like layers and layers of gum over a crab. And then he has like human hands that have like big bulbous fingertips.
Yeah, he kind of has a shell.
Yeah, he's a shell hat thing.
He's got these blue little puppet type eyes,
like blue little like animatronic Chuck E. Cheese type eyes that swivel back and forth in his head.
And his mouth is dripping with slime. Also, I thought that he was reminiscent of a mushroom as well as a crab.
Definitely. Yeah, I would agree. He also, his mouth has like these, he has like a beak-ish type mouth that has these kind of like spines or spikes around it that look kind of like a beak, but also kind of like a goatee. Also, he's yellow and green.
Yeah,
I think you can't really find pictures of him on Google, so I took a bunch of screenshots and I'll put them up on Twitter with the episode.
Hell yeah. I really liked Mogyar. Also, I thought it was fun. The reason that he immediately started speaking in Italian is like Mogyar is, you know, some species that is highly evolved and very intelligent, and he like accidentally crash landed in the U.S. and was trying to crash land in Italy because there's a research facility there that he wanted to go use to assemble a proper weapon to take out Kra. So he had studied Italian really quickly right before crash landing on Earth in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And that's why he's speaking Italian. And so like they give him some like books for English and then he's able to speak English cause he's a genius or whatever, but he just has an Italian accent.
He reads the books really fast. He reads the like English Italian dictionary and just flips through it really fast. And the biker's like, wow, like he can read so fast. And the lady's like, maybe he's just looking at the pictures.
It'd be so awesome if an alien landed on the planet
and just
trying to communicate
through the
with
pages
it.
Like 100 a second, and he's just looking at the pictures.
Yeah,
he's not even. It's his first contact with a human race, and he's not even like looking at each picture for more than like 0.001 second. He's just like, oh yeah, pictures. Oh yeah, wow.
That would be such a hyper little guy thing to do. I would love that if that's what was happening.
He's also semi-aquatic, Mogyar is, because he says, Kra is semi-aquatic, like me.
Yeah.
So we know that he's semi-aquatic. Yeah,
it doesn't come up again.
It doesn't matter that he is. But he basically, the plot of this movie, I could not care less. Unfortunately, it's not interesting. They have to make a nuclear weapon thing. The laboratory that they were gonna, the nuclear laboratory that they were trying to get to so that Mogyar could make his weapon explodes, and they see it in a newspaper article, and the newspaper article says, like, Naples laboratory explodes, vote unanimous for new zoo in its place. They're getting a zoo. It's pretty funny. But then they make a nuclear weapon thing. It's really, but what I will say about this one, but this one does lack the fun, interesting human characters and the fun story. But it has more monster action. Craw eats a statue of like a big statue of a guy from the top of a tire store.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. I like that. What I really like is they have one moment where they cut. It looks like they're just cutting to the Godzilla 98 logo on a black screen. Like it is as if it's like a Godzilla title card. And then it zooms out and it's a big Godzilla poster on the side of a skyscraper. And then Craw's hand just punches through the Godzilla logo and then just completely annihilates the building. And it's very funny.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because Craw completely destroyed Godzilla at the box office.
Yeah. And also destroyed Godzilla in Godzilla versus Craw versus third guy. Fucking
Zarkor,
which is a real movie.
Yeah, and it came out and everyone watched it.
Mm.
And then they defeat Craw with the nuclear weapon thing. And then here's what I wrote: the Planet Patrol fight Lord Doom, and it's mostly just spinning around and jumping over each other. And then two of the Planet Patrol people try to grab the Chamberlain, and they just run in circles around a pillar for like a minute.
Yeah. Also, one of the Planet Patrol people is just a girl with psychic powers, and they don't really delve into that too much.
They put Lord Doom in jail, and he immediately escapes because the Chamberlain is like, maybe this will help us escape, and just takes out a key.
Yeah.
Which opens, leaves it open for Craw 2, which never happened, but do you know what did happen? They made a movie called Planet Patrol that was a spinoff that was about Planet Patrol fighting Lord Doom, which I could not bring myself to watch.
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
But it exists. That's pretty much Craw in a Mogyar shell.
Hell yeah, that was great.
Thank you. I have to say, Craw, you know, I think there's some competency on display, but nothing beyond that, and you need more than competency. You know, they hit it out of the park on the first one, if you ask me. And I think it's a worthy thing to maybe be like, okay, the first one, we spent all this time on the humans. Maybe if we want Monster Island Entertainment to be a big hit, we got to put some more monster stuff in. So we're going to put more Craw footage, and we're going to also put another monster called Mogyar. But unfortunately, it just was a swing and a miss.
Should we rate Mogyar too?
I would love to rate Mogyar too, because I like him more than Craw, I think.
Yeah, me too.
And he speaks in it when he speaks English. Also, he still speaks in a very comedic Italian accent.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm
that's
Mogyar.
Important.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, that's funny. It's just funny. Good, that's just good comedy right there.
It's funny.
Hey, it's funny.
Also, the Planet Patrol are in a big sphere. They're in a big space station sphere thing,
like the Death Star kind of.
Yeah, like the Death Star or like a Borg sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really all I have. Craw was also named after a Marvel character. I already said that. Yeah.
Cool.
That's what I got. Let's rate it.
Let's start with Zarkor.
Okay, Zarkor. Let's see. If we're taking into account his rules and his method, which of course we will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give Zarkor a 7 unkillable, no weapons against me shall, formed against me shall prosper type shit things out of 10. Because I think his concept's really cool. I really like the design of his head. I think everything else about him besides that stuff could use work. But shape of his head, eye lasers, and those first two rules are baller.
Yeah, if for Zarkor, for me, I'm going to give him 7 internal GPS will track you down, will not stops out of 10. More for his narrative design, which I think does count as design. Like, the reason that he's there is part of the monster that he is, and I think that is sick. I don't know if that's just a cheat to make how much I like the movie a part of the monster. But,
no, I think that is 100% who he is. I mean, that's what the monster is.
And I liked his physical design, but I really liked, you know, his backstory and why he's there. So I'm also going to do 7.
Yeah. For Craw.
Yeah, Craw.
I'll go 5 gills out of 10. I don't even think he has gills. Because, you know, it's.
He has gills.
I can't. Okay, he has gills. I can't say that he's bad, really. But I also can't really say he's good. So I think just right down the middle. Like, there's really. He is completely passable. There's nothing I look at him and I'm like, that's wrong. That's bad. That's actively not right. But there's also nothing I look at him and I'm like, that's really good. I think the only reason he doesn't sink below the middle is because he is a bounty hunter who scours civilizations to harvest warmth, which isn't even really part of the movie beyond the beginning of it. But yeah, it's the middle of the road.
Sure. I actually am going to give Craw 6 out of 10 space tokens that are used to pay a civilization bounty hunter. because I think that his design, I actually don't like his design. I think that it's really, I think it's like toast with no butter. You know, it's like you could eat it, but like hard, basically what you said. But I think that the concept of a Colossus bounty hunter that is specifically bounty hunting, you know, civilizations, like just being a biological weapon and like a bulldozer and a bounty hunter all rolled into one to attack something at that large of a scale is such a cool and novel concept that I got to, it tips the scales a little bit above average for me.
For sure. I also just realized Craw. I might actually lower my score because Craw is basically, I just realized, a one-to-one ripoff of an Ultraman kaiju.
Which one?
Ragon, R-A-G-O-N from Ultraman. He was, because I was thinking, oh, it's kind of a novel idea to do like a creature from the Black Lagoon kaiju, but it's not, because they did that in the 60s, and it's Ragon, and he's a giant creature from the Black Lagoon, and he just looks cooler because he is from the 60s, and everything looks cooler from the 60s.
Ragon looks like a pervert.
He looks so much like a pervert, but he literally has the exact same fins.
Yeah.
Like Craw is a 90s-ified version of Ragon.
I think Craw looks cooler, to be completely honest.
Really?
Don't crucify me.
I won't crucify you. I just have a soft spot for a really doofy-looking 60s kaiju suits. I think that stuff is awesome to me.
Cool.
But yeah, I will. I think I'm going to go down to 4 because I realized it's not even really an original idea.
Sure.
Well,
so that's those two, and then Magyar.
Magyar.
How we moggin?
You know, I'm gonna go ahead and say 7 disgusting, slimy human hands out of 10, because I think it is so funny to make like a dumb kids comic relief character and just truly make him so revolting looking.
Yeah, that
like,
is
I would
awesome.
Throw up if I saw him in real life.
Yeah. Well, when they first interacted with him, they were like just hitting him with brooms and shit, which I think is like an appropriate reaction.
Definitely,
to.
Yeah. That's how how he smells, dude.
Yeah, but imagine just like a stinky crab guy just yelling at you in Italian. Like you're gonna hit him with a broom.
Oh, for sure.
I'm also gonna give him 7 Italian words out of 10, because I like him.
Yeah. All right, and then I have one last important question.
Yes.
The age-old, I mean, everybody who grew up in the 90s has heard this before on the playground, all right? Who you got, Craw versus Zarkor? And I have my age-old, I have my stance I'm taking. As much as I hate to admit it,
I think Craw takes it.
Craw takes it, yeah, because yeah. Think about it, and this is, I mean, you go to any elementary school, you hear people saying this argument. This is the classic argument. If half of the people on Earth could beat Zarkor better than Tommy Ward could, then all Craw has to be is better than Tommy, the same or better than Tommy Ward. And I would argue that he's big.
And better. I would agree
than Tommy
that he
Ward.
Is like, you know, tens of thousands of tons bigger than Tommy Ward.
Yeah, and then everybody always comes back with the argument, oh, but the reason Tommy Orr was able to defeat him is because he used the hacker and he found the reflective window, and he was able to hold the window up and reflect Zarkor's I-beams, and Krau wouldn't be able to do that. And all what I say to that is statistics don't lie.
Another thing about that is Krau is at least intelligent enough to have a job, which we all know is the mark of intelligence. So I'm thinking that, like, I don't know. I feel like he would probably be able to figure out how to reach out to his people. And, like, it also, nothing, here's another thing. No weapons currently under development on Earth.
Earth, yep. Very
and
good.
Where's Krau from, Cameron?
Doesn't outer, know, unknown.
Outer space.
but not Earth.
Not Earth. So I think Krau just has the advantage
of... it.
Yeah, he has some intelligence.
Yeah. He's able to take orders from Lord Doom.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's... Yeah, I had to pose the question.
It had to be posed.
And I do recommend everybody, I mean, I'm sure you guys have already seen it, because who hasn't, but you got to check out Zarkor the Invader.
It's
on Tubi.
It's a completely worthy watch.
Yep, it's 1 hour 10. It's funny.
If you have Amazon, it's also on there with ads, but like through Freevee, it's on there. Worth a watch.
It's good.
And it's not long.
It's short. All right, so now it is time to do our thing. That
spin
we do.
The wheel.
Yeah, and I've got the wheel up here. Are you ready for me to spin it?
Wait, is it streaming? Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
It is. I'm streaming it to you.
Sorry, everyone. You're gonna have to wait for me. Okay, yes, I'm ready.
Okay, and now I'm gonna spin the wheel of monster, and to see what monster we're gonna talk about next week. And I'm spinning it right now.
Please.
Here we go. The Hulk.
Oh shit! Hulk Marvel.
The Hulk from Marvel. That's what we'll be talking about next week. Okay.
Beautiful.
Well, we'll see you guys next week for the Hulk.
Yeah. Hope you guys all have a hulking good week in between now and when we record this Hunk of Hulk.
And what I will say, too, is now is a good... I mean, join the Discord if you haven't. It should be pinned on our Twitter, at MonsterCrazyPod, if you would like to talk to like-monstered individuals. But also, this is great, because I know that there is just probably so much raw material about the Hulk. If you are a comic fan, or I guess somehow a Hulk but not comic fan, head over to the Monster Mail channel in the Discord, and I mean, send in recommendations of stuff that you think needs to be considered for the Hulk as a monster, because, you know, we'll consume some media, but there's only so much we can do in a week. So if there's stuff that you guys want us to talk about or know should be mentioned, you know, we might end up finding it on our own, but it's great for you guys to throw your own hats in the ring as well, and just recommend some Hulk media that is monstrous. That would be greatly appreciated, and it would be fun for you too, maybe even to help us out like servants.
Yes, unpaid servants.
Yeah, but we'll see you next week.
I have one more thing. This is in regards to the Loveland Frog. A listener reached out to us and has an insider scoop that I would like to read out about the Loveland Frog. This is from Twitter user Ewa. So they are from Lebanon on the Little Miami, and their pal, Ricky, cracked the case as a teenage reporter for Loveland High School's paper. There used to be a factory nearby that manufactured green plastic soda bottles, and at the end of the day, the workers would take the fucked-up conjoined accident bottles because they looked cool. Sometimes they would go drinking at a bar near the river, and certain drunken pranksters would go hide behind this guardrail at a big curve on the main road into town and move the green plastic blobs around like puppets for oncoming cars. And Ricky interviewed these hooligans, and they fessed up being behind some of the more recent frog sightings.
Wow. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some Loveland lore from Ewa. Thank you for reaching out. If ever you have some little tidbit, please let us know. We love tidbits.
Definitely. That's also
show.
I mean, yeah, don't use the Monster Mail just as a way to recommend stuff for us to look at. I mean, anything you want mentioned or you think bears mentioning. And yeah, could, of course, if you there's something from a past episode that we missed or something, we're happy to issue issue corrections or new fascinating facts that you think must be known. And we'll be the judge of whether it must be known or not, because we are God.
That's true. We're WAD. All right. Without further ado, see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.